Hello and welcome to One Man and His TARDIS. I'm Chris.
I'm Gemma.
I'm Ian.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Steve.
Yep, we're still joined by Mark and Steve. And on this podcast, they're going to help us discuss, debate, and something else beginning with D.
Deliberate.
Yay!
Deconstruct.
Thank goodness there's people with vocabulary in the room.
I told them to get medicine for
We've been getting, exactly. We've been getting by with just swearing and just, you know, doing dick jokes since we started.
You didn't tell me that. I can do dick jokes.
Hey!
Oh!
Did they come out your ears?
Oh, hey!
You didn't let me finish that one.
Hey.
Right, okay. So, we are going to start with... Are we starting with the Bells of St. John? Are we going to start with the Bells of St. John?
Let's start with the Bells of St. John. Let's do that.
So, Bells of St. John.
Are we starting off with the time? Have you got the timer going?
Yeah. Time's going.
Time's going.
It's all good.
Fine.
Don't worry. We haven't got your TARDIS sound effects anymore.
No, I know. I need to work out how to put them on this new phone.
Okay.
The thing about the Bells of St. John.
Hang on. Is this season B start?
This is
7B.
So we're not starting from the side.
No, no. Okay.
The thing about the Bells of St. John
is that it's not great.
It's not very much about the bloody Bells of St. John,
is
it?
No.
It's actually the fact that...
It's one clever little line at the beginning.
It's the fact that he's having a little bit of a moment again.
Again.
And he's in a monastery for some strange reason, wondering who Clara is, why she is and what she isn't.
Yeah.
And painting pictures of her.
And painting pictures of her as well. And then you actually get into the story proper.
Yes.
Why didn't they just call... have it linked in with the fact that the aliens were hiding, or the intelligence was hiding in a church.
Yeah.
It would have been so much better.
It's because nobody goes to church, but everyone goes on the internet.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have shot very well.
You don't go to church unless something's wrong. They need to breathe.
An alien looks down and goes, there's these big stone buildings everywhere. Yeah. Maybe we should hide in those.
We should hide in those. There's no buggers going to them anymore.
Hello, kitty cat.
I think the biggest problem was the Doctor was outside the plot for 25 minutes.
You know what the biggest problem is?
Yeah.
Is that it was rubbish.
Yeah.
And really, really boring. It's the one episode, actually, of the whole section of 7B that I actually didn't enjoy at all. And in no way.
Baby Bear's agreeing with you.
Yeah. Well, we watched it again this afternoon, didn't we, Baby Bear? Yes. And
that's typical Doctor Who fans. I hate it. I'll watch it again.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Did you hate it?
Hate it.
It's just compared to a lot of other Doctor
I was yeah. trying to watch through some of 7B before we started doing these podcasts. And so I obviously had to start from the beginning. Oh,
and you put Baby Bear through it.
Yes, and I put her through it and she didn't like it either. In fact, we both kind of sat there and I think I ended up reading a book while it was on. I just found it really dull. It was just boring.
The other thing that annoyed me about it is those bloody kids.
Yes, those kids are.
Not only could they not. We'll cover them in Nightmare and Silver, shall we?
Yeah.
Not only could they not act.
Yes.
Is the fact that. And they're only there because they were going to appear in Nightmare and Silver.
Mm.
And you think. Could she not have been doing a better job?
Yeah.
The fact that. Very sad within the context of the plot. The fact that the mother of the children died and she was staying with them and then she stayed on as an unofficial nanny. But it's a bit complex. Why couldn't she just be on a gap year or something? I'm staying with my friends.
Yeah.
We are joined by Dorothy again today.
Yeah.
So we apologise if there are overly loud baby issues. I do think when talking about the children, though, I think that story isn't complete yet.
Mm.
I don't think just seeing them though a few times is enough to warrant. They weren't being built up for Nightmare in Silver, I don't think.
Really?
I think there's still more to come from them yet.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I don't know why they're in Nightmare in Silver anyway.
They come downstairs. Oh, let's do this later.
Yeah, but
we'll
what
do
they,
this
yeah, exactly.
get
yeah, but what they did is they actually needed someone to actually go to the army camp.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Clara couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Clara had to go and rescue.
Yeah.
Or come and bring back. And that's why.
We'll deal with that. I actually liked the Bells of St. John.
Well, that's because you are of inferior intellect.
That's
Ian.
Right.
Possibly because you liked the motorbike.
I'm putting my cards on the table, and I'm saying that I liked the Bells of St. John. It wasn't brilliant, but
do you know what it was? It was a toy advert.
Really?
The flying motorbike. The robots with the things in the back of their heads.
No,
that's
yeah.
a really, really simple toy mold to make. You take the Doctor and then
Give him a spoonhead.
You do the back of the mould and change it a little bit. I don't think there was a lot. Yeah, I just think it was just all one big toy advert and a bit too simply finished at the end. It was too much of a... it was a robot all along.
It's not Planet of the Dead End of Time, though.
No, it's not. Just by the fact that what it is what it is.
But I do think. Does anyone remember that South Park episode where they went to see how Family Guy was made?
Yes.
And it was the manatees in the tank. Genius. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that Doctor Who episode was instructed about the same thing. Moffat got a ball with the word monastery, internet, spoons.
Have you seen the Doctor Who plot generator?
No.
Oh, I'll send you the link. Someone's written a bit of code where you actually generate the plots to season 7.
Is that how you're writing the new series of Plymouth Who Productions? Is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Ours actually makes sense. I have endings.
Meow.
But it is a clever bit of code, and it's sort of the Doctor finds a word is inserted. Clara goes to something. The plot is resolved that. By, cool. And it turns out the guest star is. And it's really clever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It just sort of followed a pattern. They built up this reputation of movie style episodes, and really it was just another RTD fluffy season opener, really. So,
but it didn't make sense either.
No,
it
was just
the fact that you had all this clever stuff of downloading and uploading personalities.
Yeah,
and it had to go via the robot spoonhead thing, and then suddenly it didn't. And you go, have you forgotten part of the plot? Because when Clara's returned the second time, they actually didn't have a robot there. And
yeah.
You
go,
how did that make sense?
To compare and contrast, though, it wasn't as bad as the Adipose one.
I was just thinking the Adipose one.
Oh, okay. We just divided the podcast.
But I'm the same crowd.
I think one of my favourite bits in The Bells of St. John is the bits where nothing's actually... Well, not really nothing's happening, but it's not the big action moments. It's the bit when the Doctor's sitting outside Clara's house.
Yeah.
And fixing the robot and kind of thing. And looking after it, essentially. Because it's kind of like he's found her and everything else, and he's kind of like,
nice.
And then she has a little nap and she wakes up and goes, "Are you still here? Yes. Are you guarding me? Yeah, kind of." That kind of thing. I think it's those little moments of them kind of bonding, in a sense, that make it watchable.
Yeah.
The plot itself, fair enough. It's kind of like if you analyse it too much, but then if you do that with most of Moffat's scripts, they kind of fall apart anyway.
Okay.
You put a loose thread and suddenly it all unravels.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the sequence in the cafe was good.
Yeah, the sequence in the cafe was good. The bits with the Doctor and Clara talking were really, really good, I found.
Okay.
And the bit on the plane as well.
Out of 5, quickly around the room, because we've got to move on to the next one. Ian?
4.
Mark?
2.5. 2.
I'm going to go 3.
Out of what, sorry?
Out of 5.
Out of 5. 2.5.
So we're around about the 2.5 mark on that. Okay, the next story is The Rings of... Do you know what? And I think everyone's going to hate me for this, but I quite enjoyed that one.
I loved it. I thought it was really good. And
complete and utter bollocks.
No.
But it was bollocks in a nice way.
This is the thing. This is what you would do. If you had a time and space machine, you'd just go somewhere and go, oh, a weird religion I've not seen before. I'll just sit in on their thing. Yeah. And then I'd be completely happy if that was it. I'd have been happy to watch that, learn a bit more about it, and then go, fantastic.
That part of it was lovely.
Oh, good.
Let's go to the alien world, the alien market, all the different creatures, wandering around the alien markets, showing her the different life.
Yes.
All right, you're not completely soulless then. I'll let you off.
And the whole idea of the fact that they didn't use money, they actually used experiences and personal...
Yes, that was
brilliant. Yeah. I really loved that.
Yeah.
It's just the rest of the story which was complete...
Oh, so it was the bit after the, I would have been happy...
After
the child turns up next to the TARDIS, I think...
Yeah.
the thing that gets me that is, shouldn't they all be dead at the end of it? The sun goes out.
It was apparently a second sun, but they didn't CGI the first sun.
Okay. I've got some news that might be interesting for people.
Breaking news.
The writer is Neil Cross.
Yes.
Who wrote the 6th and 7th series of Spooks.
Yes.
He's also the writer on Luther.
He is.
And he's now working on an adaptation of Day of the Triffids for Sam Raimi.
Really?
It's an interesting
writing version of Day of the Triffids, right? Okay,
yes. Yeah, another version of Day of the Triffids
because the last one was crap.
Yes, it was.
They've all been crap.
No, yeah, the one in the 1980s was brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, and that one. Yeah, sorry. They've all been crap apart from the one in the 1980s.
Yes.
He also wrote Hyde as well, which we're talking about soon.
Right.
I always think it's really good in a sci-fi story. Although we've seen it many, many times, for a character to wake up in a hospital and then the world's gone to fuck. It's always a really good way to kick off
the number of times that happens.
Oh, but it's a classic, though, isn't it? Yes. Can't argue with it.
It'd be interesting to find out who actually did it first. Did John Wyndham do it first, or did somebody
else
do it first?
That's a good point,
Because the number of
times we've
seen
it.
Books and TV series and films.
But who wakes up in a hospital?
It's everyone.
It's a perfect way to do it. Day of the Triffids.
If you wake up in a hospital... If you wake up in a hospital and there's no one around and no one answers the call bell...
Yeah.
You're buggered.
Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah. 28
days later.
The Stephen King, the virus one with the bits and pieces.
The stand.
Yeah.
The stand. Yes. That's done
basically
really well.
If you wake up in hospital and there is no one there, you might as well end it now.
just overdose on morphine.
You'll be
happier.
Hero, that's the thing.
Yeah, you're going to be the plucky hero that sees their friends murdered horribly, and
was a zombie film as well where it happened.
All the zombie films, 28 Days Later.
Not 28 Days Later. That's another zombie film.
Walking Dead.
70s. Zombie film. Someone wakes up in the hospital full of zombies.
I want to make an anthology movie now where every single story starts off with someone waking up in hospital.
Right. Answers on a postcard or answers on a Facebook. If you can think of any more to add to the list, please put it on the feed.
Even Darren Brown's done it. In his experiments.
Yes.
It's such a classic sci-fi trope that even Darren Brown's done it.
Okay, we need to drag this back onto topic or we are going to lose the episode. Yeah. Any other comments to bring onto the Rings of Akaton?
Why didn't the TARDIS bloody translation circuits work?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the woofling.
Yeah, I mean it's like the dolphin creatures in the Doctor's Daughter.
Oh God!
Where they
suddenly decided Martha could understand them, but
we couldn't.
Yeah,
and it was like,
because sometimes they just use it as a plot device.
Oh, yeah.
Then I suppose you could say it's because the TARDIS didn't like her that she didn't let her translate.
Was that ever resolved? Is that going to be resolved? Is that another Moffat thing that's just hanging?
Because she's the girl who split into.
I suppose, but it doesn't really kind of like...
That could be why the TARDIS didn't like her, because she's all over time and space.
It's like a Jack thing. Jack thing, yeah.
We'll come back to that, because I've got a comment on that in a minute.
My personal experience with Rings of Akaton is kind of like, up until...
It's Freema Ajumman.
Just call her the one who played Martha. That's it, it's easier like that.
Contact. up until little girl singing, really nice, you know, all the kind of like people getting all together, really nice like that. Alien Market, really good, cool. Clara sitting behind the TARDIS with a little girl having a little chat, fantastic. From there, or the little girl singing, up until the point where Clara holds the leaf up, is pretty much bollocks.
Mm.
And then the end of it, when she comes in and says, "This leaf is my story," that really resonated with me because I'm a big believer in kind of like things that have stories to them.
And how do we feel with Dr. Time Stalker in the opening moments of the episode?
I quite liked it. Really? I thought it was quite
Yes, of course. Yeah. Loved that. That was really good.
Time Stalker, he stalked Clara from conception, technically. Do you think there's a deleted scene where he's stalked outside the bedroom window? Are they doing it yet?
Yeah. I hope so.
He's there with a violin going, this is the night, the stars in their eyes.
That was like some Hypno into one of the drinks.
I think it's kind of, you refer to it as the second third of the story or whatever, it was just didn't quite hang together.
Yeah.
With the whole kind of thing in the box going rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, but I didn't like the last chunk of it either.
Really?
In the sense that it sort of got to an end and they go, oh bugger, there's a bigger one.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah. The Doctor speech didn't quite resonate for me, but until Clara came up with that leaf, that was when it really kind of got me back on side.
I didn't mind the Doctor's, I liked the Doctor's speech. The fact that I've lived for all these years, and I was thinking,
got listening devices in your house.
Yes,
they have got listening devices in your house.
Into my brain, actually, because actually no one's seen that.
Okay, out of five, let's go, starting with Gemma.
4.5
I'm going to go 4, Steve.
1.
Ooh.
1. 1 as well, Mark.
Yeah, 1.
2.5.
2.5. Oh.
So we're 2.5 thereabouts.
Well, yeah, we're kind of bringing it back up again.
Yeah.
Right, next up we have Cold War. Did Mark Gatiss win back us as fans?
Yes. Yes and no.
Oh my
no.
God.
Yes and no.
We're not going to. There's no going to be no episode that we agree on.
No. Yes and no.
Well, I think there is going to be one we're going to agree on.
I'm going to say this now. Stephen Moffat didn't want the Ice Warriors, so Mark Gatiss convinced him. Obviously, so the convincing was they get out of their suits. So then they do it in a way that they can't physically afford to do it properly, and they can't physically afford to do it again.
Mm.
And it's just like. What if they did it? If the end reveal was you saw a prosthetic mask, yeah. I could go with that. But the fact is, they made an entire CGI thing. They've limited themselves in future what they can do, and it's just going to be something that's going to be ignored.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that the CGI was rubbish. For the monster out of the suit. They'd have been much better to get Neil Gorton to actually make a puppet or something that they could have wiggled around a bit.
Well, they did some nice bits with the hand and everything like that.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was really sort of reminiscent of Alien. Classic, well, not just Alien, but classic sort of 60s horror, sci-fi horror movies.
Mm. But I don't know if it's just a cynical side of me, but yes, it was cynical.
No.
I know, cynical me. I'm more spherical. Is that even a word? I don't know. Troubles for goalposts. Aha. That's two characters at once then.
We haven't been drinking, honest. No. Not an alcoholic drink has passed anyone's lips.
Right. Rewinding. The old cliches, the hands and the hiding in shadows, came across to me not because they were doing it to honour those cliches, because they couldn't afford to do any other way.
But that's why they've always been done before in the past. All those shows did it like that
because
they couldn't afford the Alien. Yeah. Alien would not have been the same film if they'd had to move about that big alien creature thing.
Yeah,
because they just crap and awful.
As an homage and using the style, it worked fine for me.
Yeah.
It was just the fact that when you actually got to see that CGI thing in the shadows, you went.
Yeah. Do you want another this the actual action figure they're releasing is not the same design as the creature.
Really?
They've actually done an action figure of an earlier design.
And is it better?
It's more sort of like grey alien. There's no, you know, I like the head. I like little pimply bits going like that. No, it's just a plain ordinary straight back head. It's being sewed with the actual suit as a separate figure. It's not something you can put the suit on.
Oh, I was going to say.
No. But the actual figure outside the suit is bigger than the suit.
Compression field. Yeah.
That's what I love about Doctor Who.
Oh, God, farting Ice Warriors, please, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what hissing was all the entire time.
I loved Cold War, I have to say. Really, really love Cold War.
I really like the old guy coming through going, I'm hungry like...
Yeah,
that was... Exactly. Old guy? David Warner. Come on, if you're going to use old guy...
Someone who should play the Doctor.
Yeah.
Really?
He's too old now. He'll never do it.
Yeah.
Because physically his own age, he's actually... He's got to be in his late 60s, early 70s.
He's 74, I think. He's 75.
Yeah, I suppose committing to a 3-year... contract and or something like that just wouldn't be physically possible
physically
for him.
You've got an age that you can only go to with the lead actor because of the strain that the series puts on running around.
Yeah, but then that's why they had Harry Sullivan, because they were going to get an older actor and use the younger person as the companion. True. Bring back Mickey Smith or the kid from Sarah Jane Adventures to be his companion and get him to do all the running around.
I suppose.
What, he's in Waterloo Road now, you mean?
No, the other one. Clyde.
In Casualty. He's in Casualty now.
Is he?
Well, they've always got to do a bit in Casualty.
Yeah.
There you go. You're not an actor in Britain unless you've done something in Casualty.
They can't do the Bill now.
No, exactly. The Bill's gone.
They've got to do Doctors instead.
That's true. Oh. Yeah. God.
In my day, I used to do the bill.
I actually did a Sylvester McCoy episode of Doctors just to see
him. He's been in Doctors?
Yeah.
He played a
time-travelling TV character, or an actor who'd been in a time-travelling TV series for children.
Oh, fair enough.
The Lollipop Man.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I think I remember something about hearing about this or something.
Nudge, nudge.
But then Colin Baker did a similar stint in Casualty. He played someone who said he fell off his spaceship. He lost his spaceship. And when the lights went out, his eyes lit up green, and he had a little pencil thing that when the equipment wasn't working, he pointed at it and it started working again.
In what?
In Casualty, Colin Baker.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, Colin Baker.
No, Mark, this is an acid. flashback, that's the one. Yeah. Oh, it would have been a funny line if I got that right, wouldn't it?
Colin Baker and Casualty, or you lot?
It's not real.
We'll have to wiki that later to see if it's actually real.
There'll be some YouTube link somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to start searching YouTube because then I'll end up not talking at all.
No, exactly. What do you guys think of Cold War?
I quite enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Ice Warrior, but I don't know.
Did it bring Gattis back on side for you? Which is your original question.
Yeah, no, I've always been a big Gattis fan. Mm-hmm.
Gattis.
Oh, it's him Gattis. Doing it to me again.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Victory of the Daleks was appalling.
Rewatching it, I quite enjoy it now.
Victory of the Daleks is the worst example of shopping list writing you can get, really. Mm. We need World War II, we need Churchill, we need old Daleks, we need new Daleks, we need them to win, and we need a robot.
A Spitfire fight in deep space.
Yeah.
Easy.
So we can do Star Wars.
Yeah.
In about half an hour, by the way. Yeah. Kind of, look at these plans I've got for something that we can fit on our planes. Oh, hang on. Done. Well, hang on.
But I'm going to take the technology away from you so you can't use it in any future world to win.
Exactly. But we're not talking about Victory of the Daleks, we're talking about Cold War.
No, so, I kind of like it. I think I need to give it another watch to decide whether I really do like it or whether it's just kind of a bit of fluff for me.
I like the character of the Sontaran. For God's sake, the Ice Warrior. The Sontaran, the Silurian, the thing that was in it.
I think, personally, you can, at this point now, you can bring the Ice Warriors back without having to get them out of their suits at all.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that. We don't really need to see
them
again.
Please never get them out of their suits again.
I think we can bring them back as armies and not have them get out of their suits.
Yeah. Ice Warriors versus Sontarans, anyone?
Possibly, I don't know. Mm. One thing, I think it's got rid of kind of like the big questions, kind of, what do they look like out of the suits? Here's what they look out of the suits.
But did you? I would have been happy not knowing.
Yeah.
It was never really that drive to see it, you know?
No, true.
Now they've mentioned there are female Ice Warriors.
Mm.
I'm like, well, what do they look like?
One thing that annoyed me about it was the fact that the submarine, given the fact that I know a lot about submarines.
Yeah.
Don't they fire guns at one point?
Well, they fire guns
on board
the submarine.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Simply the fact that they had water on board the submarine after apparently the hull was holed. If you were down at that depth, you'd actually go under complete pressure collapse if you actually had a hole in the submarine to let water in. Because there was that amount of water sloshing around in there.
Yeah.
That... And you can't actually fire missiles on battery backup.
The sets look fucking brilliant.
Apart from the fact they were a bit big.
But the water dripping down in most of the places, I thought, worked
it
really,
does. It
really
looked
well.
Very good.
It looked fantastic.
It's just the fact that if you don't know what you're looking at, you actually think, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, could you do that? And the continuity bit is, why was everything written in Russian? Because the TARDIS should have been translating.
That's true.
Because I couldn't tell it was actually Russian for quite a while until they actually spelt it out for me because they're speaking with English accents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a plot device to say, don't forget we're on a Russian ship.
Yeah.
This isn't an English submarine, this
but
is a Russian
submarine. But
then
they should have actually done Hunt for Red October at the beginning, shouldn't they? They should have subtitled it, as they did with Curse of Fenric.
Yeah.
Yes.
They could put the subtitles on literally until the Doctor turns up and then everyone speaks English.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Exactly. Oh, I like that.
That would have been really good. I like that.
I think that would have been good.
Right, okay, out of 5.
I should be making this series, shouldn't I? Come off it.
Out of 5, Steve.
I'm going to give it 3.5.
I'll give it a 4.
4.5.
3-ish and a bit.
I'm going to go 3 as well. So that's the highest so far?
Highest so far.
Right, next up we have Hyde.
Squee!
I think this is actually Dorothy's birth story.
It is. This is the one we watched.
This was on during labor, a couple of days during after.
Oh, no, stay in there, girl. Stay in there. Almost there. Almost in.
Put Doctor Who on.
You can't. We can't go to casualty yet. Yes. Doctor
No, 6th of April.
Oh, no, no. Rings of...
after she was 3 days
yes,
after she
so
was born.
That was her birth story. Sorry, we're a few episodes late here. Right, Hyde. What do people think of Hyde?
I'm going to stay out of this one because I said about Hyde in the last one. Go on.
I really enjoyed it. It was really scary to start with.
I liked it, most of it. It was very atmospheric, very atmospheric. He annoyed me. Matt Smith annoyed me.
Did he?
Because he was a bit full on. He was a bit too... Matt Smith being...
Man-child. Too man-child-like.
I can't remember who said it, but... Someone was pointing out to me, and I do agree with them, that he walks in and kind of goes, I know this, I know that, blah, 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 blah. Mm. He knew half of the plot just from walking into the into the room.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was very... Was it you that
mentioned just now.
No, it was Mark. I'm stealing Mark's thunder. Yeah.
That's all right.
Somebody said, I can't remember who.
That's right. Just editing that bit in the podcast I did before this.
We don't edit. No, it's a word around here.
It was just the exception of the characters as well, just accepting that he knew all this and not questioning it. And as Steve said, yes, you need to hit the ground running, but there is that room there for just a little bit of side. Even when she took the girl took Clara aside and said he's got ice dagger in his heart, and I was like, okay, and what did that mean for the rest of the series?
Yeah.
I think there were some nice twists in that episode, though. Mm. Some bits and pieces didn't really realise and stuff like that, like who it was that was running through and it was being followed.
That was very clever, the fact that there was someone running at different rates.
I thought there was one too many things when he then went, oh no, wait, there's another one, and it's because there was really too much story there for 45 minutes. Mm. Yeah. I think that should have been a longer story.
Well, they should have cut it.
Cut one of the plot points. One of the threads should have disappeared from that.
I really like the fact that there was nothing actually dangerous.
Yes.
The ghost wasn't a ghost. It was scary coming to get you. It was just somebody running along at a different time. Even the thing chasing her wasn't scary. It was just trying to get back...
Pick his missus up.
To pick his missus up.
She's been waiting around for ages. Yeah. She's done the shopping.
Oh, look at the cute, ugly little alien thing. It's all in love. It
looks like a tree.
Yeah. There was no actual danger ever. It was just sorting things out. It was quite nice.
But the annoying thing, one, is the fact that you had all the bit going through with the rope and the TARDIS can't go through, and then the TARDIS goes through at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's because she really needs to. She has to because she loves the Doctor. I do kind of get a feeling from that episode, though, that it could have been any of the later Doctors. It could have been 9 or 10 doing that episode. There wasn't really anything 11 about that story in there.
It was just Doctor turns up, so it's a problem, and shoves off again, really. So it's a basic style of Doctor Who. It was just, like I said, I enjoyed it, but there was no hook. I mean, there's nothing really memorable I take away from that. There's nothing that classic moment you hope for in each episode. I mean, like, even though we dissed the Ice Warrior one, you remember it's the one where the Ice Warrior came out of the costume and the rings are Ackerman.
Oh my god.
What's that from?
Red Dwarf.
Gelf
language.
Yeah.
You know, it's Clara's first visit to an alien world, and with Bells of St. John, it's the Great Intelligence.
Yeah.
But with Hyde, really, it's just there in the middle of the season. It carries, it adds nothing to it.
It doesn't really advance the plot at all, no. Really.
I mean, sure, if that line, like I just said, about he's got ice in his heart, which I thought was a throwback to the line in the Christmas special, where Richard E. Grant quoted Game of Thrones and said, winter is coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought, that's a link to that. But again, it's something that's just not been picked up on. It's a fine story. There's nothing overly wrong about it. It's just Lair. And yeah, it's just Lair.
All right, then out of 5, Mark.
I'll give it a 3.
Yep.
Okay, can I just say, Hyde, what the fuck was all that about? I don't really get it, but I'd say 2.
Is it your ghost's light, is it?
Yes, it is. That's a perfect way of putting it, yes. Maybe I'm just not intelligent enough to get it, but what the fuck was all that about?
That's a podcast another time.
Yeah.
I like Ghostlight.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, too. I understand it.
First thing to frighten me since I watched Curse of Fenric while my grandparents lived above a funeral parlour and I was there on my own and I heard noises downstairs. So, 5. Go on, because I was actually scared.
Wow, that's the first 5 we've given out
tonight.
There you go. I think I'm going to go 4.
I'll give you 3.5.
Well, that's another fairly high. I mean, if someone's at home and could write these down for us, because we're never going to get around to doing that, and really then give us some total score. That would be lovely, but I'm sure you won't be able to. Okay, right, so next we are moving on to Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS.
Okay, I'm going to set this one up for you now. Technically, there was this big plan by Moffat. We've got the budget, we can finally explore the Doctor's TARDIS. We've got a gifted writer who can give us the episode we need. We've got the team, we've got the resources. It's going to eclipse the invasion of time. Actually, we're going to explore the TARDIS. Unfortunately, there was just one slight flaw in the plan.
It was bollocks.
Yeah.
Well, I think they then lost the funding for it. This is the cheap episode.
But like I said in the other podcast, it's the Voyager episode of walking around corridors, and you don't have the corridors to begin with. So you're building cheap tat for a cheap tat episode. So. But like I said, there should have at least been some. The fact there's actually a designer in there scares me. I can't imagine a TV designer actually looking at that set and going, "Yeah, that'll do." bit of red lighting, bit of smoke. Yeah, that'll do it.
But if they had to build the sets, why did they actually build what they built?
Well, is it because the TARDIS is supposed to be kind of falling in amongst? I mean, that interior of the. Was that the Eye of the TARDIS? The Eye of Harmony? Mm. Was that what that was? I can't remember. And he tries to steal
it is
that.
The Eye of Harmony in there.
That's the Eye of
Harmony. The Eye of Harmony looks a lot better in that one than it has done before.
But that room with the balls that are hanging off and he kind of takes them.
That was the engineering section.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the engine. Okay. I thought that bit was really, really good.
That was quite nice. Yeah. But where is everything else? That was it. A library. And
the library looked good. I enjoyed that.
Did we see anything in the
library? The
library
looked good, but why did it have a book called The History of the Time War? Which she opened and opened at the page where his real name is.
Exactly.
Think.
Straight away.
Did she open it where his real name was?
It was open to the page where his name was.
Oh. Yeah, it was just like, oh, that's interesting.
And a story.
And I did like the idea of history being in drink form.
Yeah, that was good.
That was nice.
That's a bit Harry Potter, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very Neil Gaiman. Yeah.
Not as Harry Potter is bringing the master back with potions, but there we go.
But they're kind of like, once again, I'm going to go back to Hyde here. It's kind of like the monsters running all around in the crowd. What the fuck was all that about?
I knew that from the start, though. Yeah, it was as soon bleeding. As the burn thing started chasing her, I was like, that's her.
Yeah.
And part of the reason there was the tiniest split second because she burnt her hand. And on the burnt thing, there's this tiny fraction of a second just after it arrives where you catch a glimpse of something on its hand.
Right.
Like, where and it's just after she's burned herself.
Yeah.
And I just, if you blinked, you would have missed it. Yeah. But I just happened to not blink and I saw it and I went, oh, that's her. Sorry. That's all them. So that's them chasing them around. So something's going on with, whatever. So I was just kind of waiting for that to happen.
Do you want to know what the original monsters were supposed to be?
No. Well, yes, I do. I don't know.
Okay, right. They were all meant to be Clara.
They were all meant to be Clara.
They were all meant to be every single episode in Clara we've seen up to that point. She was meant to have died. And each Clara was meant to be a different Clara the Doctor had met.
So whose idea was that? Was that Neil Gaiman's idea or Stephen Moffat?
I don't know.
It wasn't Neil Gaiman.
No, it wasn't Neil Gaiman. This was.
Oh no! Sorry, no. I thought this was Neil Gaiman.
We were talking earlier. It would have been better if Neil Gaiman had written it.
No. It was an early draft of the script. We would have Clara. That's why we never see Clara leave with the Doctor in the Bells of St. John, and you just see her randomly each time. It's meant to be he's finding her in different places. That was the original plot.
Oh, so every time he picks Clara up, it's a different Clara.
Yeah, and the Journey to the TARDIS is meant to be almost towards the end run, not in the middle
where
of the run.
Where she's died loads of times.
Yeah, but so in the end it changed and they just adapted the script to it was dimensional bleeding of their future.
Stephen Thompson.
And they were meant to be locked. Rooted. Yeah, and the Doctor locked her in the bowels of the ship, and because the TARDIS was dying and in dimensional bleeding, they'd all reactivated and were coming back to life.
So that would have been better.
That would have been better, yeah.
Here we go. Stephen Thompson also wrote The Curse of the Black Spot. Ugh. They've definitely got the same kind of feel.
That pretty much kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
My sort of set up joke about talented writer sort of doesn't work.
Just in a kind of, it's a bit of a fun episode. Really? And it's a nice little idea about the
one
thing
really. And plus, it's the one I saw being filmed.
Yes, we saw it being filmed.
So,
yes.
it's brilliant by default. Because we were there.
We were there. We saw them dress the set and everything.
I went back at 1 o'clock in the morning. Why the hell did I do that? Did I learn nothing from watching Bernard Cribbins walk off the high street?
Did they do anything at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
They were filming.
The scene where he's on the plank.
Right.
I was there when they were filming that.
Oh, okay.
So, and Matt Smith actually told us to move out of his eye line.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He said, I'm very sorry, would you just mind moving out my eye line, please? Because it's very difficult when you're standing on the plank.
Well, at least he was nice about it.
Yeah, he was great about it.
He wasn't nice.
I had my iPad there at the time, and when he was on the plank, I felt like holding up and playing the Doctor's song. Just going...
Yeah, that would be a bit roomy.
Yeah.
Yes. Journey to the centre of the TARDIS. Big rip in space and time at the end of it that kind of cancels out everything that's just happened.
Yeah.
Shit.
I know.
Sorry.
it's the big red reset button.
Yes. Exactly.
No, but it doesn't though, it's because the there is a callback to that later, isn't there?
Yeah.
When she starts remembering things that she shouldn't remember.
But it's kind of like, I think the way I was so disappointed by the end, because it was kind of like, oh, you know, the Doctor's actually finding out. He's actually confronting Clara with everything that we've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks. Who are you? Why are you here? You know, blah, 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 blah. And you've died and everything else. And she finds out that she's died. And then, nope, we've forgotten it.
It was
it's
all
Scully X-Files writing, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Scully, there's a spaceship over there. Where? Over there. Well, yeah. I can't see anything. No, turn your head to the left. No, that's the right. Turn it to the left. It was just like, there's that sort of writing. But,
I don't like big reset buttons. No.
Again, it was an episode that set up so much but delivered so little.
Yes. Mm. That's a good way of putting it, actually.
Yeah. One thing we do want to talk about, though, do people... Sorry, Gemma.
That's all right.
No, sorry.
Just means you're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, no. I didn't actually hear what you were saying, sorry.
I still enjoyed it.
Oh, sorry, okay. Yeah, you can still enjoy it, but...
It's probably baby brain. I'm not as discerning as I once was.
Do we think the actual inside of the TARDIS is inside the TARDIS now? Now we've seen the Eye of Harmony. Is it actually inside the TARDIS or just a gateway to somewhere else?
This was the thing. I remember being told by like the Doctor Who night or something that it was somewhere else on Gallifrey.
Yes.
But my geek brain has retconned that from my head.
Yeah.
Because then if they were chasing the Doctor and they were on Gallifrey and they've got access to the inside of the ship, why don't they just come from the inside? So waiting for that one.
But there was always the theory that was that the Eye of Harmony was in the centre of Gallifrey.
Yes.
But it was dimensionally linked to power all the TARDISes.
To all
TARDISes.
Yeah.
So that I can understand. Well, but
TARDIS actually has
I think
Eye of Harmony in it.
The contents of the TARDIS is inside. I mean, so many times we've had like, the TARDIS has to dump this bit of the room to make more room or lose weight and stuff like that. I do think it is inside. Anyway, right, should we wrap up on that one then?
Yep.
So, Ian, out of 5?
2.
Yeah.
3.
I'll go 2.5.
I'm going 2.
3.8.
Very precise, Gemma.
Pacific.
Okay.
Pacific, yeah.
Now,
well, lost it to 0.2.
Nothing. You just wanted
nothing
to say.
Really, I just wanted to say 3.8. Why not?
Fair enough.
Just want to start quoting pi.
Yeah. That's 3.18, isn't it?
I don't know.
Bye.
Okay. The Crimson Horror. So this is the next Mark Gatiss episode.
Yes.
No?
Bobbins.
Thought everyone would have enjoyed this.
I loved this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's for the first time in the entire run, it felt like just a fun adventure.
Yep. The only bit that got me was the Tom-Tom bit.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Really?
Funny.
That was it was too League of Gentlemen for Doctor Who. Yeah.
I was just like, what is that doing there?
That was funny.
After Chris had to explain it to me, because I was just like, why is he talking in that weird way?
Before he said he was Thomas Thomas, I thought I twigged on what it was, because he does sound exactly like one.
Yeah.
But
I thought he was some kind of robot or something,
was
and I was just like, why
the
is he
and
speaking
Companion
oddly?
Light episode?
Well, it's 20 minutes of Dr. Light, I think, or 25 minutes, but he does turn up for quite a bit come the end.
But was it one of the episodes where
it's only
he
about
was...
15 minutes.
To be honest, I think a lot of these stories have all been slightly Dr. Light at the beginning. Hyde is 5-10 minutes.
They got around it this year rather than...
Yeah, you have the one set filming the beginning of one episode while Matt Smith's on another set, and then kind of like overlap.
Because for me, this actually felt like it was the Doctor and Clara light episode.
Yeah.
Because but he doesn't turn up because he's as the creature in
How does he
red.
Eat, huh? By the way? Well, he can hardly move when he's in that thing, and she keeps shoving food under the door.
It's to torture
He
to
can't
him.
Actually reach that tray,
okay.
I don't think.
Is that
think.
What it is?
Yeah. Well,
okay, it's to torture him.
No, she's looking after him.
It's a misery thing. You're a messy pup, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, though, if you're going to do a Dr. Light episode, you're going to do Mark Gatiss and Strax. Because that combination is awesome.
Yeah. I like Strax.
It's me too.
I will point out one slight design iffiness I have. When the actual tower opens, why are there flashing lights on the outside of the tower?
To make it look good.
Flashing
gaslight, of course.
No, there were electricity lights going up the side of the tower, and it was just weird. It just sort of like... no offence, it was just like she had a gay designer for something like that. And there'll be flashing lights. Why do we need that? Because it would look fabulous!
And it did.
One thing that didn't look fabulous, in her when she's got all those controls, they're actually doorknobs. There's a whole panel of controls, and they're all doorknobs. Because I know, because we've got them on a piece of furniture in our house. And you're thinking, how is she controlling anything with that? It might be opening cupboards, but that's about it.
Well, I have to say, Dame Diana Rigg was freaking brilliant in this, I thought.
Why
was the leather cat suit?
Well, and also I have to say, there was that one point where she started to unbutton her jumper, and I was like, no, I know. No.
She's much better in Much better in Game of Thrones, Diana Rigg.
Who does she play?
Granny
Tyrell.
Granny Tyrell.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not mention G of T, because this will turn into a Game of Thrones podcast.
Yay!
And, all right, there are less of those than there are Doctor Who podcasts, but we've been doing this for so long, I'm not stopping now and making one of those.
Granny Tyrell is awesome, though.
Tyrell is awesome.
Dave Danner is awesome.
Voting for Emma Peel, then.
I don't know who
Avengers.
Joanna Lumley. Just have a moment to think about Joanna Lumley.
Yeah. Then... Go back and watch Diana Rigg in the Avengers.
Forget Joanna Lumley. I like the fact that the daughter doesn't actually go all wishy-washy and forgive mummy.
Or get her sight back.
I really like that.
Because
I can just... If this was Rusty's time, it would all be like, it's okay, I forgive you. And actually she's like, no, mum.
No, I think she would have taken over as the evil...
Or she would have actually pushed her mum over a precipice.
Yeah.
That's a Rusty ending.
And was it just me, or was that the infectious leech really cute? He's got the big monkey eyes. And it was just, I just like that it was the little speech at the end where the doctor said, I'll take it somewhere where old.
Yeah.
I really liked the imagery of the people preserved inside the living rooms and stuff like that. Mark Gatiss is just like a closet steampunk
fan. See, I liked that, but I was like, what is going on? Yeah, why are they doing this? I didn't understand that.
No, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I was just like, why
was
that happening?
Comedy Victoriana, and it was glorious and beautiful.
What was it for? Why
to preserve them for when...
Because... Oh, the people, why were they there? Because they were the good people who would have survived after the bomb went off. They were the strong ones to repopulate the Earth.
How did you... I could not work out.
Explained.
It was. There's a monologue, and it goes, "This is what we're doing."
There was exposition at some point.
I was thinking, is she making some kind of museum? I don't get it.
The point is for
art. Everything to you, Doctor. Yeah, I kill you.
Exactly.
It's just so beautiful. It is a lovely.
Ah, so you want to hear my entire plan? Do you? All right.
Well, sit down and make a cup of tea.
Exactly.
It's just the knowing looks between. It's the looks between the mother and the servant when the daughter asks whether Mister's coming down for supper and think for tea and stuff like that, and she looks at the servant and thinks, amazing.
I wouldn't describe it as amazing. I really didn't get on with the Crimson Horror at all.
It was
at all.
It gave us Jenny and Strax.
It did give us Jenny and
Strax,
and that's so
that it wins on that front. It's Strax until we get our spin off. It's the best we're going to get out of them, aren't we? So.
But it was kind of like you could have done Crimson Horror without Clara. At all.
Was Clara in it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't, though, because she was preserved.
Which is why I said, was it the Dr. Light and Clara?
Yeah, exactly.
Did nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, out of five, I'm going to start, and I'm going to go five. Sorry.
Steve? Two.
Five.
Hey!
Three and a bit.
I think this could be our... it's quite high up there.
It's probably
lower than some of the other ones we've given, because I can't remember what we gave to the other ones. Right, so next up is the Neil Gaiman episode, Nightmare in Silver. Oh, there's silence in the room.
Yeah. It's sort of like,
can I just say the Doctor playing, or the actor who plays the Doctor also plays the enemy? That no should never happen. The main lead playing the
not
bad
in that
guy
way.
As well.
No,
I have to say.
Oh, really? I really liked it.
I really liked it, but the way he did it in a Doctor way, it should have been a bit more mechanical. And
it's Cybermen, so it should have been much more slowly delivered. And
no, why?
No, I really liked it.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything wrong with it whatsoever.
I thought Matt Smith was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was all very kind of Voyager, Borg, kind of like we now need an intelligence. Because we like Borg Queen style.
Yeah,
style.
I mean, the kids using the kidsism as well. That made no sense at all.
Well, because they were
children.
Yeah,
but they were there to be like imagination, weren't they? Because
they were there to be bad actors. That's what they were there for.
I don't know
it's
why they were there.
Always the same.
Clara comes downstairs. The kids are sitting there, and they go, "We're on to you. You're a time traveler." And she goes, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, I am. Do you want to come with me?"
Yeah.
The hell?
You would just sit there going,
you just go,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, no one is ever going to believe them.
That's my grandmother, that's my great-grandmother, that's my auntie
Mold. And then they go, we're telling Dad. Go on then, he'll have you committed.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're
10 and
12. For God's sake.
What's anyone going to think?
Yeah.
Do you know what really upset me about that episode, though?
Idiot.
Last year, I invented a D&D dwarf character called Porridge. I'm not happy now. I'm not happy.
I was looking throughout Nightmare and Silver. I was looking for little Gaiman moments, to be honest.
There weren't many Gaiman moments at all.
The Doctor's wife is fucking full of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely full of them. It's pretty much like someone squeezed Gaiman into like 45 minutes, and it's pretty much that.
Well, really, if we look at the Doctor's...
But Nightmare and Silver, it kind of suffers from like other people's... I don't know whether it's other people's influence or whether it was... You know, not quite the right script, or whether Neil had to crowbar in the kids in, or something else like that. Mm. But it just doesn't feel like a Gaiman episode.
No.
Well, the Doctor's wife is the Fantastic Four play, and the Nightmare in Silver is a very disappointing sex that follows.
Yeah, I think the first one that he did was like, you have an episode, do what you want.
Yes.
Because there's no serious plot that comes out of that. It's his own self-contained little mini universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything that he can do can just be forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like the TARDIS talking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It could be brushed under the carpet. When you get into it, right, we need something plot device, because I think there's a good reason why they've brought the Cybermen back the way they have.
Yeah.
And I think the Cybermites and all that kind of stuff is going to be followed up later on.
I like the Cybermites.
They were cute.
I was going to say, it's the same thing I put on Facebook, actually. It's kind of like, okay, so they pretty much nicked the Borg, but the Borg are shit anyway.
Yeah.
They've been shit since Voyager, so why not put them on a TV show that's on telly?
Yeah.
Still. Yeah, fair enough. They're not the Borg, but it works.
I'm really fed up with the Cybermen are mirroring our world technology and what we do in apps and upgrades and deletes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Their basic concept is what makes them good. They're survival suits. They're humans who have replaced their bodies with artificial limbs to extend their life. That is it.
Yeah.
That is the allure of them. That is why people give themselves willingly to the Cybermen and want to be converted. So they, like a very Asian premise thing, where these new Cybermen now are just App Store, Apple parodies. That's all they are. They're Apple parodies. And they're not Cybermen, they're robots.
But they are better than the Cybermen.
Yeah, true.
They don't clomp anymore.
No, they still clomp a bit. Now they've got freaking art signs.
They've got silencing devices. They're like, there's someone around. Let's go into stealth mode.
Yeah. Then why not put stealth mode on all the time?
All the time, yeah. Why would you, it's like
a cloaking device in Star Trek. Why not have the cloaking device on at all times? Because you can't do everything.
Because you can't fire with a cloaking device.
It's like James Bond. When we have an invisible car, we can't hear the engine.
What?
There's an invisible car in James Bond.
Please don't start on the invisible car. No. What's this? If you haven't seen Die Another Day, please don't.
Yeah. I think for the love of God,
an invisible car.
Do not watch Die Another Day. Oh, isn't it some kind of
stealth technology? But they got it wrong completely, don't they?
But the minute it goes into that, you can't hear it.
Oh my God.
And then when it becomes visible again, you can hear it. Fabulous.
Halle Berry gets frozen to death. James Bond rescues her, jumps into a hot stream, and she comes back to life.
Really? That's how that works?
Within about 2 seconds. It would kill her in real life, but
and
no.
And let's not forget, Pierce Brosnan surfing a glacier.
And a hot spring in a glacier as well. But yeah. If you're taking someone from that extreme cold to that extreme warm, it would kill them in about 3 seconds flat. Sorry. I mean, I know it's been really weird to introduce realism into James Bond, but that just...
Or Doctor Who, for that matter.
Or Doctor Who, for that matter. Yeah, exactly.
It's just like that episode of Game of Thrones where they had sex in a freezing cave.
There's dragons in Game of Thrones.
No, because that's a natural spring. Look, we've really gone off topic now. We're really limited per episodes. So, right. Let's get some good stuff coming out of this one, though. There's got to be some nice bits and pieces. Yes.
I like the fact that he's the Emperor. I really like the scene when they discover he's the Emperor. They all get teleported back to Thingamabob, and he asks Clara to marry him. And that bit's all really good. Warwick Davis is awesome.
I like the setup to him being the Emperor, because I saw the statue. The first thing I thought when I saw the statue is, oh, that looks a bit like Warwick Davis. And then I saw the height and went, oh no, it can't be. And then just put it at the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Until it turned out.
Yeah. I was going to say, the Doctor's good, Clara's good, Warwick Davis is good.
Yeah, his acting is brilliant.
Everybody else can go fuck themselves.
Okay,
although that guy from Being Human's in it as well, though, the showman guy. He was quite good.
Yes.
There is a Neil Gaiman moment in it. Yes. I just think
some Neil Gaiman moments in it. Yeah, go on.
The army men, the people in the military. There is no need for a military anymore because the universe is united.
Yeah.
So the people who end up in the armed forces are all just useless and rubbish. One's fat and one's got glasses, and they're not the kind of space marines that you see in science fiction. Yeah. They're kind of like odds and sods.
But then stereotypes.
They did nothing with it though. No. I mean they. The only thing I would have done differently with the soldiers would I would have had them crazed crackpots who couldn't accept the war was over and the Cybermen were wiped out. So they were literally going from planet to planet to planet and looking like the Salem witch trials, but they were looking for the Cybermen.
Was it Tams and Althwaite? Did nothing.
No.
Pretty much at all.
I mean, the only bit I did like, and it was lost completely. The minute the Cyberman upgrades and goes into sort of the bullet time mode, that was really
I forgot about that. That was brilliant.
But then he just kidnaps the kid, and you think, why the fucking hell are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go around.
Because you've actually seen her earlier on going, oh, she's going to be upgraded. There's so many people in that room you could upgrade and turn into a Cyberman.
Yeah.
I know it's actually explained. All the Cybermen they have are actually made from children who visit the park.
No. The explanation is that they decided to take children. That's why they're on the park, because they wanted the brains of children, which are undeveloped and have more growth potential, to be able to be the cyber leader.
Yeah, cyber controllers.
Mm. Right. Okay. Out of five, Steve.
Two.
Three. I've got another gaming moment though.
All quick, because time's running out.
All right. Ruined fairground.
Yeah, okay,
when
fair
they
enough.
First go to the Ruined Fairground, big old sweeping thing, Ruined Fairground, I said, that's Gaiman. Three.
Four. I do not dislike it.
I'm going to go three, just because I've got a bit of a thing for Neil Gaiman. I want to be him.
Yeah, exactly.
Or be inside him. So I don't mind.
Neil Gaiman is a god. He just can't write that episode of Doctor Who.
Do people think that maybe a season with Neil Gaiman as a showrunner?
No. He would never do it.
No. He hasn't had the time,
busy.
To be honest.
Too busy. Do you know how much he loves Doctor Who?
Oh, he's too busy doing other things. How long did it take him to write one episode?
I was going to say,
one season. Come home for a year live in England. Oh, you can stay in our spare room. We'll put the baby in with us. That's fine, Neil. Just come over, move in for a bit. Just do one season and then go again. Please, just one. Okay, right.
Did you just invite Neil Gaiman to our house?
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Of course it's all right.
Can you invite Alan Moore as well, please? I'd like to meet him.
Invite him to your place. Let him use your shag pad.
Alan Moore's not going to come to my place.
And did you say that we'd have the baby in with us and he could sleep in the spare room? Because I'm thinking maybe swapping that.
What, Neil Gaiman in with you and the baby
Neil
in the spare
Gaiman
room.
Could come in with us and...
ooh. Neil Gaiman sandwich.
Yeah. I'm liking that.
Focus.
The name of the doctor.
Oh, his lovely scruffy hair.
Come on then.
Yeah.
Okay. The season finale.
All right.
Finale.
I should hate this story because the plot goes nowhere, nothing really happens. And it's just fan tickling, but I love it so much.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I should hate it. My all instincts for anything else, but the fact that I also hate the fact that, I lost my train of thought then. Hey! There we go. Here it comes again. Catch the next one.
Came in there, right? Stayed there for a bit.
Yeah, stayed a bit. Back out again. Go again. It's a season final, but a setup for the 50th at the same time. That ikes me a little bit. Just, it's a season final. You're meant to finish your season. You're not meant to leave that giant... It's not like it's just a little tease as well. It's a giant great fucking claw coming out the screen to grab you.
I didn't like the title sequence. The introducing John Hurt
as the
Doctor.
No.
I thought that was really out of place.
Awful. Yeah, that was really out of place.
That made me laugh. It was almost as if I expected when that came up for a little head to pop up as if like in silhouette as if you were in the cinema and for someone to turn around and go, so that was my episode of Doctor Who, you know, what did you think? That kind of, yeah, and for us to be watching some weird kind of show in a show. So, and I was like, what is that?
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that moment is Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back when Mark Hamill came out.
Yeah, but
of
to be
thing.
Fair, you couldn't recognise it was Mark Hamill when he came through the wall. Like,
really?
That was the whole thing. Yeah, I've listened to the podcast before. Well, not the podcast. When Kevin Smith talks about it, it's kind of like, originally they weren't going to put that in, but when they look back at the rosters, they were kind of like, you can't really recognise it's Mark Hamill.
Oh, right.
So they put this thing in as a big kind of like thing. But yeah, it's... Yeah, it's got
hey kids,
kind of
it's John Hurt.
And then, considering that they spent the last 5 minutes talking about, I haven't seen that one. Yes, that's the one we don't talk about. But that's a version of you, isn't it? Yes, it is, but it is and it isn't. And then, oh yeah, by the way, that was the Doctor. Really? We didn't know that from the last 5 minutes of exposition. We're not fucking idiots, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I found about.
And also, I don't need to know that it's John Hurt. I would never have recognised him.
No.
And I don't care.
No, exactly.
Why do I need to know it's John Hurt?
Stunt casting. Well, it's kind of stunt casting, isn't it?
This is almost
as if going back to Survival and going, hey kids, it's Hale and Pace.
Yeah. Oh, look, Ken Dodd. That's the Doctor. Might as well have been.
This is what Doctor Who's core audience did when that happened.
Mum, who's John Hurt? Yes.
Pretty much. And then they put on Alien.
Yeah, they understood.
No, because they're not old enough to put on Alien.
They went to watch some proper stuff.
Then they put on Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh, no,
and then that's it. We've got no audience at all for the 50th now.
Yeah, this was the first one since The Bells of St. John where after I watched it, I was like, I didn't enjoy that. And I really wanted to because it was a season finale and I really wanted to like it. And I just found it very, very dull.
The only thing I didn't like was the fact they jumped a lot. They kept having these moments and then suddenly it would jump to another chunk of scenes and then there'd be another leap and another chunk of scenes which were unrelated to the previous ones. And
it was all a bit disjointed and weird,
suddenly we're somewhere else. And how did you get inside the TARDIS? And my brain hurts. Yeah.
I really liked Massive TARDIS. And Clara says, "Oh, that's a pretty big memorial." And he says, "No, it's not the memorial." And when he says, "What is the line? The big leaks out or something like that?" I was like, "The big leaks out."
What else
out
would they bury me in? Is a good line.
Yeah, that's true.
To be honest.
Yeah. So I liked Massive TARDIS.
Great intelligence goes into the Doctor's time stream, buggers it up. Everything goes red.
Yeah.
And then Clara goes into Doctor's time stream. You don't see anything really, other than a few flashing bits where she turns up. And everything goes back to blue again and it's all fixed.
Yeah.
Could we have not actually had something that she was fixing?
Yeah.
Because it all was
a bit... No, didn't we get that bit? Because she went to, like, Hartnell and went, no, don't take that TARDIS.
Yeah, but there was this one.
One step beyond!
Which brings me back to the point of, why did the TARDIS actually dislike her all the time?
That's the...
Because
yeah,
she actually was, pick this one!
Yeah.
And that TARDIS was sat there going, I'm one day from retirement!
But then again,
the TARDIS wanted to see the universe, and
But
that totally fucks up Gaiman's episode from the year before as well, because
in The Doctor's Wife, the TARDIS says, "I stole you."
Yeah, really. I just like.
Yes.
They can't even keep their own continuity. Bloody hell. They're falling into X-Files territory already.
This is sounding like we fucking hated every single episode of this last season.
It's always easier to bitch than...
But it was... Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
Just
the Doctor's time stream swirly thing in the middle of the console room was beautiful.
Yes.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Riversong, as ever, and Strax...
Yes.
Were amazing.
Although Clara spent about 10 minutes walking into deciding to go into the stream when we knew she was going to go in there anyway.
And some of the direction was a bit dodgy.
It was.
Someone stopped the Great Intelligence and you've got Strax, Jenny and Madame Bastros doing, did you want us to do something?
Sorry,
we're just listening to the exposition here.
Yes.
I liked seeing Strax not being funny and cute.
Yes.
Because you do kind of tend to forget that he's a Sontaran and he's kind of a bit dangerous. But it was nice to actually see him being dangerous.
I was really disappointed how they copped out on Jenny's death as well. That actually had a moment in it. That could have actually been serious.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna. I thought that was a keeper.
I think Doctor Who needs more Game of Thrones in it, and then they actually need to kill people sometimes. People that we like.
Yeah,
it's
you're
fine.
More invested
do
into
it.
A moment of, what do you call it? Peril.
Yeah.
When you really think that someone could actually die at any moment.
Just get Joss Whedon to write it. He's the master of killing off people
that
he likes.
Yeah, get Josh to write one episode at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what do we think? Out of five, Mark?
3.5.
Ian?
I have to say, watching this one again, I liked it a lot more, but it's still not quite up to the level of Big Bang or The Wedding of River Song.
Big Bang.
So I'm going to have to...
Big Bang.
Big Bang.
Awful.
So I'm gonna give it a 4.
Jump.
2-ish.
I'm gonna go 3, but I do think it deserves another rewatch and probably going up on there.
Yeah.
Steve? And
I'm
probably gonna go about 3.2, 3.5. Something low, not quite. Even. It was alright.
When they finish the story, we'll give you our final opinion.
It is a story that hasn't been finished yet.
Yeah.
Okay then, boys and girls, I think we're done for the evening again.
Scores for the series as a whole.
Oh,
yes,
good point.
Exactly.
I'd give it a 6/7.
Five. Well done.
Oh, out of five. Sorry, I thought we'd go for. Out of five, I'd give it a 3. Then it had its moments, but the writing wasn't consistent throughout the whole series.
No.
The acting was good. The performances were good. The designs were nice are really good on some things, and above all, Strax, Jenny and Vastra saved it.
Steve?
I'm going to give it 2.5
for the whole season.
For the whole season.
No.
Seasons 2, 3 and 4 were better.
Ian?
Yeah, and now are we talking about this block or the whole season?
This block.
What we've just been talking about.
This block was not as good as the last block. There are episodes in the last block that I really like that really shine amongst all the bits. The cowboy one was awesome. The Angels Take Manhattan, even though it's a little bit dodgy,
it feels
it was
like
awesome.
So long ago.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the Asylum of the Daleks, even though it wasn't quite what we expected, it was still pretty good.
That was quite clever.
Those are ones that really, really shine. And even little moments in those ones that are full of genius, I don't think there was anything... It's pains me so much to say it, but there was nothing really apart from Cold War that kind of maybe
even Cold War
had a few little bits in it. There was I was waiting for amazing moments in every single episode, and there pretty much wasn't any at all. And it's worrying really for the rest of the 50th and for the Christmas special, really, because I think I don't want to say that Moffat's lost it, but unfortunately, it wasn't as good as season 7A. So I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah.
That's low.
Sorry, it's half.
Low.
Go on then, what do you think?
I was going to say, are you going to ask?
I thought you were going to talk anyway.
I think, despite the fact that I've actually bitched about it quite a bit, I actually really enjoyed pretty much all of it. So I'm going to give it a 4.9 because the things that I didn't like, although I've talked about them at length, actually made up a very tiny fraction of the section as a whole. And so I shall, yes, give it 4.9 because largely I very much enjoyed it. But again, it could be baby brain.
I am going to go for a 4. More standalones, please. I like the standaloneness of the whole thing, especially because Moffat has taken the whole idea of putting an overarching storyline that Davis implemented and taken it a step too far. And I think more fun can be had from stories which just are the Doctor enjoying himself.
Self-contained, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More self-contained. I think if it is true and Matt is actually regenerating, then I think that's what we need for the next Doctor. More self-contained stories to start it off with, to be honest.
But, I mean, what they should do is actually make it individual episodes which, if you actually commit to the whole series, you get something a little bit more.
Again, get Joss Whedon to write it. He can do that really
well. If you actually don't follow the whole series and just dip in and out, it doesn't actually matter. And the resolution needs to be a small part of the final episode, series finale.
Yeah.
Rather than the whole thing of, oh my God, we've been working towards this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Getting a bit bogged down in its own history, I think, to be honest.
And lose the big red button resets.
Yes, please. Please.
Because everything seems to be solved by a bloody time reset.
Yes, and if you're going to cast kids, make sure they can act.
Yeah.
Please.
It was Emu in the Big Pink Windmill.
I mean, as we were saying before, they managed to get good actors for Sarah Jane because people.
Well, they got good children actors for the Christmas special. Why can't they just bring them back?
That's true. Yeah, they were good.
They were good.
Yeah.
Just bring them back and they just.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
We diverge.
Digress.
Digress.
Oh, I think we're done again.
I think we are done again. Did the timer go off?
The timer did go off, but I've just been silencing it.
Kind of ignored it.
Just, yeah. Just timing people into it. We might be a couple of minutes over, but we
people are used to that.
Right then. Well, okay. That's it. Any more plugs that we want to stick out?
I think we plugged everything.
Everything on the last one. Yeah.
Don't forget to breathe. That's a very good point.
Other than that,
buy food.
Oh, we haven't said anything about people listening to this on the bus. We haven't done that in ages. If you're listening to this on the bus, please
wave your hands in the air like you just did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Do there something you if you're
no,
listening.
No, they're not
to
doing it. They're not doing it.
Shout, why, Matt? Why? That'll work.
Then the bus driver's called Matt. You're just asking for trouble now.
No. Tend to scream out, John Hurt is not canon.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next Tuesday.
Yay.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Yes, Chris?
If people who enjoyed that wanted to get hold of us, what would the website address be?
Well, the website address would be www.onemanandhistardis.podomatic.com.
And what if they wanted to email us?
Well, we've got that covered as well, my friend. All they have to do is chuck a little email to omahtpodcast@gmail.com.
And if they're on Facebook, would they be able to go to a page there?
I think we're on Facebook as well, yes. You just search for One Man and His TARDIS, should be able to find it.
And if they were on Twitter, would there be a hashtag for us?
I think you'll find there's a hashtag OMAHT.
Well, that's awfully clever, isn't it?
It's awfully clever, isn't it? There are so many different ways that our lovely, lovely listeners can get in contact with us.
But we're not giving out the postal address.
No, we're not.
No, because we don't like you that much.